it was completely wide open. I mean, you had names like Jay Haas, who also shot a low round on Friday, Steve Flesch, who's won recently on the Champions Tour. He's a Golf Channel guy, so he's recognizable. He shot a 65 also on Friday. Bob Estes, who's kind of always lingering, and he's also an active voice on Twitter. So if you follow golf on Twitter, he's a well known guy, and he was right there. Colin Montgomery was right there too, who obviously is recognizable for a lot of reasons.
Sure,
he was right there going into the weekend or going to the final round, and yeah, it was extremely wide open. I mean, I would say there was legitimately probably 15 to 20 guys that definitely had a chance going into Sunday.
And the one guy that came from way back, a guy that was ninth, four shots back heading into the final round, was a guy you and I talked about last week, cigars and all, Rocco Mediate, and he ended up lighting up a victory cigar when it was all said and done.
He did. He shot 64, and it's funny because when you're watching the telecast, you know, Rocco's name was there. But they come on the air. It was actually a little bit delayed because the PGA Tour event went into a playoff, and it was tape delayed anyway. But Rocco's name was there, but you weren't really expecting him to actually win. I mean, it was Ken Duke. I mean, and you know, it was pretty much like, is Duke going to hold it together or not? And it ended up being Rocco decides to go to the last two holes. It actually had a great look at birdie on 16, which is the par 5 that most people were birdieing. Misses a fairly makeable birdie putt. Goes to 17, the par 3 that nobody can seem to hold the green on, hits it to about, I don't know, 12 feet or so, makes it for birdie, and goes to 18, a hole that is, you look at it on the scorecard, it should seem so easy. It's only 360, 370 yards, short dogleg left, but that green is so tricky. It's a two-tier green. It's a very small top shelf where they had the pin. If you hit it short, you have a tough putt up the slope. If you hit it long, you have no shot coming back down the hill at a long rough. And he hits a beautiful shot in there to about 10, 12 feet and makes it for birdie. So he finishes birdie, birdie, post 9-under, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, Rocco has a legitimate chance to win this. And Ken Duke is 9-under at the time, too, and is on hole 16. Or excuse me, he's 8-under at the time on hole 16. Hits a great wedge shot into 16, makes a short birdie putt. So he's 9-under. So Duke has two holes to go. If he goes par, par, it's a playoff. If he makes one birdie and a par, then he's going to win. He goes to 17. Duke hits a fantastic tee shot to about 15 feet and hits a great putt that just grazes the edge. It was basically dying at the hole, and somehow it stayed out. You could even see Paul Guidos, his playing partner in the background, kind of gasp, like, how in the world did that not go in? Then he goes to 18, and Duke hits driver off the tee. You know, you have to wonder if that was the right play. Mm-hmm. He's not a long hitter, but it took a hard bounce in the fairway and kicked through the fairway into the rough, and had a super gnarly lie for the second shot. And then, I don't know, I'm not sure if he let his emotions get to him, let the tough lie get to him or what, but he comes up short left. And then he has that rules, I'm sure you saw this too, he has that rules dispute with the official on the green there, claiming that his ball has come to place in a sod seam, where he has his hands on his hips and he's kind of looking at the ball, claiming to the official that his ball seems to be in the seam of some sod. Well, sorry, Ken, they haven't sodded the side of the Minnehaha green. It's been that way for, I mean, it's grass. It's
yes.
Just the reality of the fact that there's a large slope there. His ball rolled off the green through the first cut, right up against the second cut. And no question, it was a tough break. Like, he hit a bad shot. Mm-hmm. It was a bad break. It either should have stayed just in the first cut or gone a little deeper into the second cut. But he comes up right against the edge of it. But you could tell he kind of let it get to him too much. I really wish his caddy would have called him off and just kind of calmed him down a little bit, because he still could have got up and down for par. And, mm-hmm. Well, what happens is he takes out the wedge. He takes a big swipe at it. He hits it over the green. It's a poor, he actually decided to putt it from the first cut from over the green, which was odd, and came up short, and then he misses the putt, ends up making double bogey, and ends up losing by two, and Rocco wins.
Well, and you talk about emotion, Joel. Let's go back to what we talked about with Ken Duke, and that's that he's not really been in this position before, and so he's not really sure how to play in a situation like that, and it's not surprising that maybe the emotion did get to him.
Yeah, he's certainly been in contention before, but you're right. He's never, like we talked about, he's never actually led going into the final round, which is just incredible. He's been playing well lately, so he's been putting himself in the mix of emotions, but it's a totally different mindset when you are the leader and basically people are expecting you to win. Your name's at the top of the leaderboard. Every corner you look at, it says Duke, it says 9 under. Of course, Rocco ended up, you know, vaulting up there and being right next to him, but it's totally different set of emotions. And even when you're, whether you're 18 years old or you're 55 years old, I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly how old Ken Duke is, but he's in his low 50s. It's still a totally different mindset mm-hmm. when you're in that position, and your body, your hands start to feel different. The blood's pumping through your body a little faster than usual. And, you know, credit to Ken that he hit a lot of good shots. And for one reason or another, I think the golf gods just kind of had it out for Rocco this week and just not so much for Ken, because he hit a good tee shot in 18 that just went a little through the fairway. And I think he had a little too much adrenaline, because that's the right line. He just hit it a little bit too far. And then the second shot didn't hit a good shot. It caught a real bad break up against the grass there. But I think in a normal situation, I think Ken might have still asked for a ruling on 18 mm-hmm. there when the ball went up against the grass. But I think he kind of let it get to him and was almost just losing control. Like, it's almost like you get so far into it, you kind of forget that you're pressing an issue, even though it's not even really an issue. Yeah, I think he just pressed it too far, and his emotions got the better of him, and he ultimately makes double bogey. In fact, not only did he not win, if he would have simply just made bogey, he would have got solo second, yes. and I think it was $157,000, something like that. He ends up tying for second in a three-way tie, which not only was it quite a bit less money, but he loses a lot of the Charles Schwab Cup points sure. for the the Champions Tour rankings, which for a guy like him are really important. Mm-hmm. So it's extra salt in the wound that not only is he not winning, he has to share second place with two others.
Let's go back to Rocco, his best round of the year, that 664 on Sunday. And it's not exactly like Rocco's been tearing it up this year. 18 starts this year, only two top 10s, the highest was a tie for seventh. So when you talk about him not getting a lot of attention going into the final round, a lot of it had to do with his play so far this year.
Yeah, really, Rocco has not been much of a contender at all in the Champions Tour since back. He hasn't won in the Champions Tour since 2016, so it had been 3 years since he had won. He actually just switched some equipment coming into this week. Rocco used to play these rifle shafts, which is a shaft that a lot of tour players play. They're heavier. They flight the ball a lot differently than the standard shafts do. And when you get to a certain age, you usually go a little lighter. You go with a lighter, more usually in a lot of cases, a graphite shaft or something that's going to vault the ball a little lighter and absorb the vibrations from hitting out of the rough, for example, a little bit easier. Well, Rocco went back to what he used to play back, like in 2008, for example, when he nearly beat Tiger at the U.S. Open at Torrey. Went back to those, and he talked about how immediately his shot shape came back. Like, immediately he was hitting these hard, tight draws that he's been so used to hitting his whole career. There's a lot to be said for that. Overthinking the equipment, and just because maybe your swing speed slowing down a little bit, don't overthink it. If you're used to whatever you've been playing with and something that's comfortable for you, I mean, he said immediately when he went back to it, his shot shape came back, and it made all the difference because Rocco was fantastic off the tee, but particularly was great around the greens and the wedge shots this week, especially on Sunday. He got up and down so many times when he was short-sighted or was hitting great little wedge shots in, and his putting, of course, too, was superb, which is extremely important anywhere, but especially at Minnehaha.